And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
Remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you for tuning in to Lifestyle Improvement today for part two of our interview with Ileana McCaig. Ms. McCaig is a nationally certified and state-licensed occupational therapist. She has 39 years of experience in the area of pediatrics, specially supporting behavioral issues as related to sensory challenges. She is also the author of several unique books, such as Autism Sleeps, a book that gives sensory strategies to help restless minds sleep.
Now that we know what sensory strategies are, how about sound-related sensory strategies?
In the book, it talks about different types of music, and there are certain types that are more calming than others. Anything that's repetitive, rhythmical, a low tone, certain beats per minute, 60 beats per minute. The electronic or mechanical metronome you can use. You can use soothing, slow rhythmic, or repetitive classical or children's songs. Children love to hear children sing. They really do. They pay attention when children sing. And especially if it's a calming, repetitive song that a child might sing, oh, it just does wonders. It's amazing. White noise is another calming sound. It's very repetitive. It has no rhythm that you need to follow. And if there is a rhythm, it has to be even tone, even not changes in the rhythm. And I definitely don't want to use something with an irregular beat. Nature sounds, that's another one that's repetitive. Any of those things will work.
So if a child is falling asleep in the classroom,
you want to use an irregular beat. You don't want to use classical music. Baroque music is a common calming sound, like Pachelbel Canon D is my favorite one. One time I had that recorded on a loop tape for a child, and he was in a self-contained LD classroom, needed to calm himself down. So he put his little headset in with the loop tape and would listen to Pachelbel Canon D the whole time. And it calmed him so much to the point where one time he was walking through one of our local department stores, won't say the name, and he's walking with his mother. He said, "Listen, Mom, there's my song." So it was Pachelbel Canon D. And he claimed it right then and there as his song.
So, like you said, your book, by the way, which I was going to say before, has beautiful pictures and great explanations, has a very large section on food. Talk to us a little bit about your basic recommendations or your basic ideas or suggestions. And of course, we in our program are not giving medical advice. Talk to us a little bit about what you have to offer there in your book.
What I talk about is a routine that a child especially needs routine, but an adult with that sensory challenged also needs a routine because I think they work better with structure and routine. So the routine, as I tell my parents in school, is think about what you're giving them for dinner, for snack after school and for dinner. If they have trouble sleeping, then you need to really start at dinner time preparing them to sleep. So what you want to do is give them sleep-inducing foods at dinner time to prepare them for later on. They might have a little snack, maybe an hour before bedtime. And that way, when they're ready for bed, then the melatonin and the tryptophan from the food you gave them will kick in to actually put them into a deeper sleep. I brought one of my favorite items for food, and it's in my book. It's Irish oatmeal or Scottish oatmeal. The reason this is so good is it says here steel-cut oat. And now some of the major manufacturers, I won't name the ones that have, but they've kind of gotten on the bandwagon since the research has indicated that steel-cut oats help sleep. Now all the major manufacturers are offering steel-cut oats in oatmeal. And I just saw it on the shelves maybe starting this past summer. So it's not too long ago that we didn't have that access only in the, Whole Foods or the organic foods department, of major stores. So steel-cut oatmeal is a wonderful, wonderful thing to use for sleep. And don't make it with sugar. Make it with honey. Honey is another good tool for sleep. And then the favorite thing to drink for me or eat to drink would be a small glass of tart cherry juice or to eat a bowl of cherries. The first time I tried out a bowl of cherries, I was sitting in my recliner. I ate my cherries and the next thing I know, I am out cold. So from then on, it was called my coma chair. Who would have thought? And so I ate my bowl of cherries, tart cherry, of course, and I was out like a light. So since we don't always have access to fresh cherries, I use organic tart cherry juice, and that's what I drink in addition to the oats. If I'm hungry, I'll have a little oatmeal snack, maybe a quarter to a half a cup. Not a lot, just enough to stick your ribs and get you through the night and get you into a great sleep. So those are just two of the food ideas that are in the book. There's lots of others. There's teas, herbal teas that I've grown up with that help with digestive aids. There's fruit that are conducive to sleep. The two that I mentioned, the steel cut oats and the tart cherry, they are direct producers of melatonin. I mean, they go right to the core of melatonin production. The other foods listed in there are tryptophan foods, which makes melatonin. Tryptophan converts into melatonin. And then some of the other foods are inhibitors of orexin, which is a stimulant that keeps you alert. So you want to inhibit the orexin, increase melatonin and tryptophan production so that you can get into a deep sleep.
Fantastic. Now, there's plenty of information there to just start with. But like you said, there's plenty more in your book.
Yeah, and it just depends on the person's chemistry. These happen to work for me. And they also happen to be the two foods that are listed the highest in melatonin. And they work like a light for me. I mean, I have no problem sleeping. Between those and my magnetic sleep system, I have no trouble sleeping since 2010. Let's say you're driving along. You've had a rough day, a long day. And at the end of my school day, some days, it's a real challenge. If I've had to take down a child off of a teacher that's attacked a teacher. Yeah, I'm a little tired at the end of the day. And so I'm driving down the road and heading home. I have about an hour drive from some schools. Then I might get a little sleepy, a little tired. First thing I'll do is take a drink of water. And then I always have gum. I always have some kind of gum, sugarless gum in my car, or a little ginger candy that I will suck on or that I'll chew. And that immediately increases my alertness. From the ginger candy, you do get a little bit of sugar and the effects of the ginger. From the chewing of the gum, you just get an automatic alertness response.
So how about tactile? What do you have to tell us about that one?
Touch is our largest organ, the skin. A bath at night is the most relaxing thing you can do. Not necessarily a shower. Shower might be a little alerting because you're in standing. But if you can do a tub bath and a soak, you know, for children, oftentimes we'll give them a bath before bed. Sometimes children are very alerted by a bath if you do too much play in the bath. If you use the bath time for play toys and exciting things or whatever, and you rub them too hard or whatever, it might be too stimulating for them. But a warm soak in a bath or a nice warm bubble bath and a calming bath is very nice, is very helpful. The other thing for touch that you can do is just lotion, rubbing lotion, you know, any kind of massage, especially baby massage, infant massage. You know, it's amazing. I also have a mom who is elderly with dementia. She has Alzheimer's. And the sense of touch is so underestimated with the elderly, especially. Think of someone that had someone at their side maybe all their life, and then all of a sudden they have no companion. They have no family around them. They have no one that's going to touch them on a regular basis. So whenever I see my mom, I give her lots of touch, lots of hugs. I take my dog with me, and my dog gives lots of licks and lots of, you know, hugs when she's held. There's lots of texture to my dog. Pet therapy is a wonderful thing. The more therapists that can do their, you know, take their animals to visit friends, you know, when my little Katie goes to the assisted living facility, we visit all the residents, and she plays ball with the resident, and she sits in her stroller so they can pet her and touch her and groom her if they want. In the classroom, in fact, one time I took her in a classroom and there was a group of children with moderate autism that one and several children didn't really speak much at all, maybe one or two words occasionally. And there was an occasion where this child was very scared of my little Katie, and Katie is the sweetest dog. I'd lay her on the table in front of the children and she'd be laying there flat and she wouldn't move. They'd pull on her, they'd yank on her, and she wouldn't move. She's so good. She doesn't complain. So some of the children were given a brush to brush her. Some were given treats to give her. Some were given toys to play tug of war with her. Well, this little boy would nowhere get near her. He would stand back and just freeze and not touch her. So that was the first visit with the paraprofessional standing next to him behind the table. The next session, when Katie came in and after he saw that all the children were playing with her, then he at least sat down at the table, but he wouldn't touch her. His hands were still up like this. The third session, when Katie came in, his hands were on the table and he was leaning forward and looking at her. The fourth time that I came into of the room, I actually took his hand. I said, let me show you, and put it on top of my hand. And I actually petted Katie for him with his hand on top of mine. And after I did that a few times, he actually reached out and wanted to pet her himself. And I guided his hand to pet her a couple times and then took it away. Well, then he put it out there and petted her all by himself and just stroked her and stroked her and stroked her. And all of a sudden, the speech therapist, the teacher, the parapro, and I were watching as he was stroking. And he said the word amazing. And we went, oh my God, a three-syllable word. We had never heard a three-syllable word from this child. And I said, yes, you are truly amazing. That was amazing what you said and what you did. And so that's probably my proudest moment of my pet therapy that I've had so far. Touch is a very strong, strong, strong input.
It sure is. What a great example. Thank you for sharing that. And it works as well for elderly.
Yeah. Even if you just take their feet and soak it in water, or take their hands and let it soak in water and then rub lotion afterwards. A manicure, I love to take my mom to get manicures when I can. She lives an hour away from me, but when she is in the area, we go to a doctor's appointment. I always make an appointment for her to get a manicure because that's attention right there. And a pedicure, there's attention right there. And there's so much input in the feet. Oh my gosh, talk about reflexology. It's amazing. So anytime they can have a foot rub, you know, or a hand rub, just the palm rub, just holding hands with them, you know, just taking their hand into both your hands and squeezing. Giving them that input. And hugs, of course, hugs and kisses, you know, that always help. Brushing their hair. My mother loves for me to fix her hair. In fact, my grandmother, when I would fix her hair, she would always fall asleep as I was brushing her hair. So relaxing to her. All that input is very good.
This is your host, Rebecca. And now we will take a short break, and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
As a caregiver, you spend your days caring for the needs of someone else. But what are you doing to help yourself? In our Caregiver Survival 101 workshops, we teach you the self-help skills that will empower you to be healthier and more productive. Do you feel tired, overwhelmed, have difficulty sleeping? Do you feel isolated? All these could be signs of caregiver stress. Chronic stress can impact your health adversely and ultimately cause irreversible, unwanted physical problems. Take a step towards your own personal care. A healthy caregiver is a better caregiver. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones to do what is needed to stay healthy today. Go to www.caregiversurvival101.com. That again is www.caregiversurvival101.com, and discover how we can help you help yourself. Caregiversurvival101.com or call 877-957-7387. That again is 877-957-7387.
All that input is very good, very good.
Fantastic. And not forgetting yourself as a caregiver, because it is as helpful to you to have that moment once you're done with your job to take care of yourself and definitely take that moment to do that for yourself as well, to be able to have a calm and relaxing night of sleep.
Yoga, meditation, massages. I would love to get a massage every week. I can't always do that or have time for it, but it would be so nice. But definitely you can always take some time to just kind of recharge and bring your own center in and you know, to calm yourself down and get in a nice tub bath, or sometimes an alerting shower helps too. Yeah.
So Ileana, I know you are an occupational therapist, and occupational therapists have lots of gadgets. I wanted to open it up in case you had anything you wanted to share. If you have ideas or suggestions on items or products or anything that you wanted to kind of share with the listeners right now, this is the moment to do that. I know you have a lot of that in your book, but if you wanted to share something right now, that would be wonderful. Mostly talking about, again, sleep, since that is what your book is about. Specifically, just anything that you have that you would like to kind of share with the listeners, that would be wonderful.
Well, one of my favorite things for sleep, and I sleep with this all night, is this pillow. I'm going to put it around my neck. This is my favorite pillow. It looks like your typical pillow, your typical neck support. I actually have degenerative joint disease of the neck in the C3 to 5 area and some bone spurs. And when I don't use this pillow, a lot of times my right arm will go to sleep because of oppression of the nerve. So what I do is I sleep with this pillow because this pillow is one of the Neekin products. It is covered in magnesium. magnets in here. It has magnets all throughout the inside. So what happens with magnets when you put magnets on your neck like this, not only does it support your head, and I have a magnetic pillow behind me and a magnetic pad underneath me and a magnetic comforter, I'm encased in a womb, magnetic womb or cocoon, you might say, like a little cocoon in a magnetic womb. You know, I always tell my teachers that my students need to have a womb in a room. Well, we need to have a womb in our own room as well. That's what you want to do, is create your environment in your bedroom to be a womb-like effect where it's calming and no loud noise, no loud colors, not a lot of reflective things, you know. Definitely no electronic lights on at night, you know. Even my alarm clock, I'll cover the face of it because the lights will anytime you have light that stimulates your eyes even when they're closed, it does not allow you to create melatonin in your body. So it inhibits the production of melatonin, which helps you sleep. So this is my favorite tool as far as my magnetic sleep system or a strategy for sleep. This is one of my favorites. The other thing during the day, and let me explain how magnets work. A lot of people don't know about magnets. They think it's just any old magnet. These magnets, the Gauss is a measure of magnetic strength, and a common refrigerator magnet is about 60 Gauss strength. So it's very weak. That neck pillow right there, it's about 700 to 800 Gauss strength, the magnet there. So for managing pain, I use that, and for managing, you know, inflammation and all that. And how it works is magnets are charged. They have a charge, a positive and a negative pole. So depending how you turn them, and they're turned kind of in opposite poles to make everything flux, you know, move like this. And our bodies are charged. We have, our body's made up of electrons, our whole body, protons, electrons, neutrons with a positive, negative, or neutral charge. So anytime you apply a magnet to another charge, guess what happens? Things move. So when I put that around my neck, whatever's in my body is going to move. So if I have excess fluid, if I have air, anything in my cells, it all works at the cellular level and just makes everything move. Reduces excess fluid, let's say. It makes it move, okay? It makes excess fluid move out and good fluids move in. So that way, it helps the body heal, itself. Another thing that I use during the day is, I don't know if you can see it, but these are magnetic earrings. This is a magnetic necklace. This is a magnetic bracelet. And because of I've had 3 back injuries and ruptured discs or bulging discs, I use a magnetic back support. So this goes in my back every day, and sometimes even at night when I'm sleeping, or it'll go on my hip where the car hit me, you know, my side. My left hip does give me problems sometimes when I'm bending a lot or lifting a lot. Like I just worked in the garden 3 days this past week and lifting 50-pound bags of mulch. It bothered me a little bit. So I take this magnetic tool and I'll put it on the side of my hip and it goes away. You know, it just moves all that excess fluid that's in there, makes it go away. And that's how I kind of have treated everything, just, you know, holistically, healthily, and just with devices like that. As far as touch and lotions, I use this cream called the Skin Revitalizing Gel. It's called Renew 28. It's one of the ASEA products. And when you shake this and you pour it out, it acts like it's like a little gel, like a gel that comes out. And whenever you have any discomfort, you can put that and rub that on there and it just goes away. And it works again at the cellular level because that's where the healing is supposed to occur for the body. It activates redox signaling molecules. It sounds like a real fancy big word, but it's something that helps the cells heal. And so those are the primary tools that I use during the day as well as at night. Actually, during the day, I also use insoles that are magnetic in my shoes because of the neuroma I had in my foot, as well as problems with veins and, you know, circulation, and had a embolus in one of my legs one time, thrombus in one of my legs. It didn't become an embolus, thank heavens. Didn't move. Because of that, then, you know, I use the magnets in the shoes that give me energy radiating upward. And so energy radiating downward from here and upward from there, it makes a whole circuit. I have a whole circuit all day long going around me. So consequently, I have to be aware if there is an adult or a child with a pacemaker or with a vagal nerve stimulator or with a baclofen pump, I don't want to get the magnets directly in contact with them because it could stimulate, you know, those to set off. And so I have to be very aware of that whenever I'm dealing with adults or children.
Wow. Well, Ileana, you have a magnetic personality, but now not just that, you're truly just really magnetic. And that's a lot of information to think about. Thank you for sharing. And things that people can look at and, of course, have conversations with their primary doctors.
It's not just based on my opinion. There is research to back up some of these white papers and studies and so forth. Fortunately, many times the medical profession, since it's very traditional, unless it's a double-blind study that measures every little factor involved, they don't tend to believe that it works. But I can tell you from my personal experience, it does work. If your body is non-toxic, your body has to be at a certain level of toxicity for it to be able to accept these holistic treatments. Okay. They're not treatments. They're holistic strategies. Okay. And so if you are a very toxic person and a very high acid, high sugar diet, you will not be able to accept a lot of these things. Like even water may not even help you as much unless you reduce the toxicity level in your body. So eating more alkaline foods, eating low acid foods, low sugar, you know, sugar and acid are the two things that feed cancer. In fact, my significant other has cancer. He's fighting that right now. And the first thing we're doing is tackling it through diet and through the ASEA products that helps with the alkalinity, as well as the water, the Nikan water system that helps with the alkalinity. So the first thing to consider in your own lifestyle to help sleep and to help everything in your life is reduce the amount of toxins, which would include chemicals. It would include the acidity from, say, coffee, or, you know, acidity can be from tomato sauce, ketchup. You know, tomatoes are wonderful for you, but tomato sauce and ketchup necessarily isn't, because it's high in acid and high in sugar. You know, so anything along those lines. Grapefruit, I can't even eat grapefruit. It's high acid, but it also lowers my blood pressure so much that I can't eat it. I have normal to low blood pressure. I take nothing for blood pressure, nothing for cholesterol, nothing for sugar, and, you know, perfectly normal pH and all that. So it's just living a healthy lifestyle and just watching what you eat. You know, you are what you eat, they say. Well, what you eat impacts on who you are. So that's very true.
Well, thank you so much for that clarification and for bringing that point across. Food is chemistry, and it does change your body in different ways. So it's good to be aware of that. And you have empirical information to support that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, getting close to the end here, I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to share with the listeners about, you also do some training, some trainings that you do for the public. And you also have several websites where people can come and learn more about you and learn more about your products. And
My main website that has the books that I've published, and actually some that I'm working on right now that I have not published yet that are coming out soon, hopefully, is the hotrxtools.com. And that stands for Handy Occupational Therapy Treatment Tools. Hotrxtools.com is my main website. From there, you can go to a site for my Nikan products, which is www.nikan, which is nikken.com, and then / sensory tools, the number 4 and the letter U, sensory tools for you. Or to look at the ASEA products for cellular health, you can go to www.livingsolutions.teamasea.com. That is for the cellular products. So there's 3 websites to choose from.
Fantastic. How about your classes and training?
I do those on an individual basis. I don't do classes on a regular basis, but I am available for seminars. Most of the seminars deal with the sensory strategies and, you know, teaching teachers how to use the SOSS tool kit that has the 70 plus sensory strategies listed on the inside of the tool. What I do is I go through each of the sensory areas. There's the whole list of all the sensory areas and the 70 plus strategies in there. So I do cover those areas and how to measure the impact of those strategies. And in the Autism Sleeps book, which is the one we talked about for sleep, which is this one here, there is a tool in there to tell you, to indicate to you what sensory area is needed for remediation for them to be able to get sleep. And then when you figure out which sensory area is impacted, then you can go to that. In the next section, it's a little inventory of what foods or what strategies you should use to help the person sleep based on that inventory. So it too has an assessment tool built into it. So, and then there are several other books that are on there, but I'm more dealing with classroom situations for teachers and therapists, but anyone's welcome to look at them.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ileana. And I think you have given a really vast view of the many things that can be done in order to address sleep issues for children that have either autism or that have sensory processing issues, or just in general for caregivers or the elderly. And the name of the book, again, is Autism Sleeps, a book that gives sensory strategies to help restless minds sleep. But this tool can certainly be used across the board.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it can be used for anybody that has a sleep problem, like me.
And we want to thank you again. And why don't you please repeat your website address one more time so that people know how to get a hold of you. And of course, if you want to get the book, you can go to Amazon.com or either to your website. Go ahead and share the website again, Ileana.
Website is www.hotrxtools.com. And there they can check out the NECN site as well as the ASEA site.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ileana. I had so much fun talking to you today. And of course, I always welcome my guests to come back and share. So it sounds like you're having some new books coming up. Would you come back and share with us when they're published?
I would be happy to.
We'd love to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and is not to be interpreted as medical advice.
What if there was a way to help your struggling child perform better academically? Would you pick up the phone and call? Lysol Improvement Occupational Therapy Services in Puyallup, Washington supports wellness and optimal educational performance. Instead of just reteaching information, we endeavor to identify the possible root causes for your child's learning difficulties. We offer targeted testing to assist in the creation of an individualized plan and provide you with the brain training tools that can help improve academic performance. Visit our website at www.lifestyleimprovement.com or give us a call today at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101, for an initial free phone consultation. Lifestyle Improvement Occupational Therapy. We're ready to partner with parents and to help your child succeed.
Thank you for tuning in to Lifestyle Improvement today for part two of our interview with Ileana McCaig. Ms. McCaig is a nationally certified and state-licensed occupational therapist. She has 39 years of experience in the area of pediatrics, specially supporting behavioral issues as related to sensory challenges. She is also the author of several unique books, such as Autism Sleeps, a book that gives sensory strategies to help restless minds sleep. Don't forget to join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for more tips on lifestyle improvement.